The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
All right, and on we go, and time for our weekly roundup of things to watch in the week ahead. And I'm joined now remotely by freelance pop culture journalist Jen Gannon and John McGuire, film critic and journalist with the Business Post. And Jen, we'll start with maybe start with Netflix, and they have a new serial killer show.
Yeah, The Night Stalker, The Hunt for a Serial Killer. So this docuseries has caused quite a bit of controversy due to its graphic nature. So if I would advise, if you're of a more genteel persuasion, probably give it a swerve. It's a four-part true crime series that delves into the case of the frenzied serial killer Richard Ramirez, who terrorized the streets of LA and San Francisco in 1984 to about 1985. So he was known as the Night Stalker for his tendency to prowl neighborhoods for victims late at night. And he had these really crazed methods, and his attacks on various individuals, they really didn't follow any kind of pattern. And this randomness of these very violent murders left the city in very high alert and the investigators in the dark. So the documentary is, you know, it combs through first person interviews from survivors, detectives and journalists, and it features a lot of archival news footage. But I think the issues that people are having with it is the tone. It's really highly stylized and has the aesthetic of an 80s hard-boiled detective thriller. The focus is very much on the lead detectives, how they crack the case and the methods they use. So it's very much full of this old school bravado where they're talking about how the case developed. But I do think, you know, it does have a lot of footage of the actual crime scene photos and photos of the victims. So it is a lot, but I do think it's very powerful when it talks to the victims and the survivors. So it's not completely superficial.
Yeah, okay. And of course, we have kind of turned true crime into entertainment now with podcasts and everything else in a way, haven't we? John, you have another recommendation from Netflix. Is this a film from Offaly?
No, it's a film set in Dublin, actually, but the director, Paddy Slattery, is from Offaly, and this is Broken Law on Netflix now, rated 15, and it was briefly released in Irish cinemas back at the end of August in that gap between lockdowns. And it's a crime thriller set in Dublin that makes its way to Netflix and hopefully a bigger audience for Slattery, who's the writer and director here making his feature film debut. At least he has a captive audience anyway. And it's the old story of warring brothers on either side of the law. The day after he gets out of Mountjoy, criminal Joe, played by Graham Early, is dragged by his best friend Wallace, played by John Connors, into a plan to rob a credit union. And at the same time, his upright, uptight brother, Garda Dave, played by Tristan Hoon, is applying for a home loan in the same credit union and flirting with the credit union employee, Amia, played by Gemma Lee Devereaux. The heist goes wrong. Joe runs off with a bag of money. Dave goes after him. And the dangerous Wallace, played by John Connors in psycho mode, is coming looking for his bag of money. Now, I wasn't entirely sold on all the performances, and there's a high degree of predictability in the storytelling, but it's a film made with an unmistakable energy in all departments. Slattery has a very keen understanding of genre cinema, and that promises much for his future. So that's on Netflix. Listen, it's great to see Irish films making their way to Netflix.
And sure, look, we don't need everything to be perfect these days. Like, if it'll divert away an hour and a half pleasantly enough, that'll do. That sounds like good fun. Outside the Wire is another Netflix. Is that you, John, are going to talk to us about that?
This is me, yeah. This is sci-fi from Netflix. Netflix have been producing a lot of their own films with mixed results now, it has to be said. This one is set in 2036, but it feels like a film from the 1990s. There's a civil war in Eastern Europe. There's a bad guy, a warlord, who's controlling this hotspot. He's got a massive tattoo of a scorpion on his neck, so you know he's a bad egg. Anyway, a human drone pilot, played by the young British actor Damson Idris, is deployed to this heavily militarized zone where his command officer, played by Anthony Mackie from the Marvel films, is this advanced robot, a kind of a prototype super soldier.
I love it. Human, his boss is a robot. Okay.
Skills. You know. But anyway, Mackie's character has taken it upon himself to stop this warlord from setting off a doomsday weapon left over from the Cold War. And the rest of it goes exactly as you've already imagined it in your head. There's a few techno bells and whistles, as you'd expect. And it's well enough acted, but it's mostly very loud and very familiar, failing to attempt anything really that any sci-fi shoot 'em up of the past 30 years hasn't already done. It's one to miss, really. Outside the Wire, it's called. It's on Netflix.
Okay, I can sense you're holding your nose about that. that one, but there'll be a lot of people like a good predictable 90s style film at the moment. Now, I can't get my head around what WandaVision on Disney Plus is, but you're both recommending it. Jen, will you try and explain it to us?
I'm going to try. I'm not a comic book film person at all, but myself, the concept is really intriguing, even for me. And this is the big Disney Plus release for 2021. We're living in a post-Mandalorian universe, so this is their great white hope. And it does have this ready-made fan base because it's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and it's their first foray into TV. So it picks up on the life of Wanda Maximoff, who's the Scarlet Witch, and she's played by Elizabeth Olsen. And it's after the events of Avengers Endgame. But you don't really need to know that. Basically, on the surface, the show is essentially one giant tribute to or parody of US sitcom classics. So the first episode introduces you to this odd couple, Wanda Maximoff, and her late husband, Vision, played by Paul Bettany, who is kind of a half robot. And it's in the stylings of these 1960s black and white sitcoms like The Dick Van Dyke Show. And it has a studio audience laughing along, and it even is shot in the 4:3 aspect ratio. And she's a mutant with apparent magic powers. He's an indestructible android. He's able to fly through walls, and they've just moved into the neighborhood. So it's kind of like a cute take on Bewitched. But, you know, for comic book fans, they'll know that this has roots in the stories like from the 1980s about Vision and Scarlet Witch, when they settled and married and they moved into suburbia. But it's also like, we know that, you know, Vision is not really supposed to be alive and we don't really know what's going on. So it has this very disjointed feeling that bursts through every so often, and the facade begins to crack and it becomes more and more surreal. There's a touch of like Invitation to Love, which was the soap that was in Twin Peaks about it. It's that surreal. But I think it's the most inventive concept that they've come up with. Very meta. Certainly. Most inventive thing I've ever seen Marvel do.
Is this just completely bonkers, or is it actually all right?
You have to get into it. This is a big swing for Disney, in fairness. These are two characters from the MCU, which is this multi-billion dollar property that Disney control. And they've done something very strange with it. This I Dream of Jeannie kind of sensibility that they've brought to it, complete with the daft jokes and the pratfalls and the canned laughter. I mean, it's quite... there's a certain amount of dissonance going on here. You really don't know where you are for the first two episodes. And then it changes to something closer to the mid-1970s and the pastiche of Mary Tyler Moore, that kind of thing. And they're planning on exploring six different eras and decades of American TV in the 9 episodes.
Okay.
And they're quite short episodes at 28 minutes that will essentially bring us up to today. And it's a bold move. And there's hints, like Jen says, throughout, of something very strange happening in the story. Not fantastical like the Avengers strange, more like the Twin Peaks Truman Show kind of strange. We can't really reveal much more about it, but I think it's worth hanging on to. I wasn't sold on it.
Give
the
it
first
go.
Two episodes I thought were a little too stiff, but the third one really opened the story up just that little crack, just enough to make it interesting. So I
okay,
think
so look, we're three half
with.
Hours of your time anyway to get as far as three and see what you think then. Okay, Jen, a couple
I think
of
so, yeah.
Movie recommendations on terrestrial TV this week. This sounds really good. I've never heard of it. It's on Channel 4, kind of tonight at 12:55 a.m. So Monday morning, technically. It's called A Bigger Splash.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Luca Guadagnino, the director. He was responsible for Call Me By Your Name. And last year he did this show called We Are Who We Are, which I think was one of the best TV shows of the year. It's really underrated, but if you can find it, I highly recommend it. But A Bigger Splash is one of his earlier films with his muse Tilda Swinton and Ralph Fiennes, who is joyously hammy in it. It's a very stylish remake of the Jacques Doray psychological thriller La Piscine, The Swimming Pool. So the action takes place in this gorgeous villa with this swimming pool way up in the hill. And Tilda Swinton plays Marianne. She's this globally famous kind of Bowie-esque rock star who's in retreat trying to escape from the madness of her life. And she's holidaying with her young partner, Paul. And he's a would-be, you know, film documentary maker. But the drama arrives when her ex, Harry, who is played by Ralph Fiennes, crash lands into her world with his daughter, who is the fabulously pouty Penelope. And she's played by Dakota Johnson. And you have then the setup for this complicated psychosexual square that's happening.
Okay.
And like all those films, it's very beautiful, really
just
funny.
Okay, that sounds like a great bit of escapism to tape tonight. John, you have 30 seconds. Season 4 of Fargo is on TG Cahir at the moment. Is it worth people catching up with it?
Oh, don't miss it. Don't miss it, Brendan. That's all I'll say. Now, I knew we wouldn't have time to get into all the mountainous complexities of this, but what I'm really enjoying is how Noah Hawley has taken the Fargo material, the Fargo thing that he's done so well over three seasons, and added Miller's Crossing to it, which is my favourite of all the Coen Brothers films, and a really rich and interesting time and place to play around in.
Super.
And I'm completely gripped. Okay. I'm totally into it.
Great. Thanks, John McGuire, and thanks, Jen Gannon, and indeed, thanks to all my contributors today.